If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 6. And if you don't have your Bibles this morning, there's some in the pews. Romans 6. I want to look this morning at a verse that should bring joy to every Christian heart. And it, by the same token, it should bring fear to all those who know not Christ. Romans 6:14, thus saith the Lord, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Let's pray and ask for wisdom and understanding this text. Father, as we come to your word in these awesome words, we thank you, first of all, that we have them. And we pray now, Lord, you would open up our mind and our heart that we might take them from this place and apply them to our lives and to the lives of others. And we'd ask it in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. I'd begin this message this morning by telling those of you that are listening that don't know Christ as your Savior, I'd begin by telling you our message this morning is not meant for your ears. Only true disciples of Christ can fully appreciate and can apply this spiritual message to their lives. That being said, I would also tell you that God has much to say to those of you who are lost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter told the crowd at Pentecost, "And I tell you, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And in Romans 10:13, the Apostle Paul told the church at Rome, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." These are the texts that you should look into and you should apply to your heart. And I pray that it will please God, the God of all grace even, to call you to himself through Christ. But for my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, our text is a golden promise that should cause every believing heart to skip with joy. It's a pledge by God that those who are in Christ Jesus have been divinely set free from the dominion of sin. The shackles that have chained us to sin, they've been the byproducts of sin, which is death, destruction, and decay, they've all been shattered by the hammer of God's will. No longer are we in bondage to Apollyon, the destroyer. The Apostle Paul comes to that conclusion. And he comes to the conclusion that sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. You are under grace. And he comes to that conclusion after he carefully lays out the believer's union with Christ. Look in your Bibles at the beginning of chapter 6. Starting in Romans 6:3, Paul writes, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Then in verse 5 we read, "If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Now look at verse 8. Here the inspired apostle promises us, "If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." In verse 11 he declares, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And because of all of these things that unite us with Christ, in verse 14, Paul sums it all up, "But sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." This morning I'd like to point out a couple of things in our text. The first thing I'd like to point out is that every human being that's born on this planet is born to serve. Every human being who has ever lived on this planet will serve under the dominion of one of two kings. They'll either serve under the dominion of the king of the abyss, the devil, or they will serve the king of heaven, Jesus Christ. There is no third place in the spiritual world. It's either sin and the devil, or it's God and his kingdom of heaven. That's it. There's nothing else. I have a proof verse for that. Jesus teaches us that in John 8, 38 and 44, he says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. You see, when we come into this world, we're already shackled to the devil, aren't we? We're shackled because of original sin. From the moment we take our first breath in this world, sin already has dominion over us because our little hearts are encased in original sin. You see, most people don't realize this, but you're not born with sin. No, but you're born to sin. Just like a tiger passes its stripes onto the next generation, sin is passed on from generation to generation. Romans 5:12 is our proof verse. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And what we do is we call that a sin nature. And a sin nature is a natural ability that all of us have to commit sin. And our ability to sin is excited by the slightest temptation. As parents, we see that sin nature at work in our children at a very early age. For example, what parent has ever had to teach their children to be bad? You see, the sin nature in children kicks in automatically, and there's no way that they can control it. And the proof is, what child doesn't steal? What child doesn't lie? Or what child doesn't fight with other children? And although we as parents see this sin nature in our children, we tend to overlook it and think of this as their behavior, childish behavior. They're just being kids. But in fact, what you're looking at is the natural man as a child. It's the old man, not crucified, running wild within that little child. And as the children grow older, the kinds and the amount of sins they commit, they grow with them. And with the accumulation of sin, the byproducts of sin, death, destruction, and decay, they also accumulate. And we see these byproducts in our lives in the form of guilt, pain, suffering, shame, sorrow, sickness, and finally, we see it in death. This is what it means to be under the dominion of sin. The lost sometimes refer to their lives as a living hell. Well, they're partially right. Because when you serve the king of hell and you live your life under the dominion of sin, life is like hell because there's plenty of torment. There's just no fire. When you live under the dominion of sin, just like hell, there's no rest day or night. Ecclesiastes 2:23, the preacher writes, for all his days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. When you live under the dominion of sin, just like hell, there is no peace. Isaiah wrote about that in chapter 48 in verse 22. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. How many of us here know people who don't know Christ? And they maybe never ever experienced peace. Their life goes from one battle. Their life goes from one situation to another. And there's no peace. And when you live under the dominion of sin, you're separated from God and the hope and the life that only comes from God. In Ephesians 2:12, Paul explains this to the church at Ephesus this way. He told the Ephesians that at that time, before you were saved, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And in Revelation 21:8, the horrible promise that those who die while under the dominion of sin will have their part in the lake of fire. John writes, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is the result, the end result even, of living under the dominion of sin. But also on the other side of that coin, this, my beloved of God, is a reason why you should be so overjoyed by our text. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You see, not only has your shackles to sin been shattered, but the penalty for your sin has been paid as well. Sin is dethroned. And that brings me to my second point this morning. Our text also gives us the good news. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Our brother Paul teaches us in the book of Romans chapter 3 verse 20. The law is the knowledge of sin. Then in Romans 7:7 he gives us a personal example of that. He writes, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. You see, God gave mankind the law to show them their sin. The law is a reflection of God's holiness set against man's sinfulness. And the Bible teaches us in Romans 2 verses 14 and 15, that even those who don't know Christ as Savior, that law is written on the hearts of all men. Paul writes, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things constrained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Everybody knows it. And the bad news is that all mankind is subject to God's law. And if you just break one of his laws, our brother James tells us in chapter 2, verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. That means that it is impossible for anyone who is born with a sin nature not to break at least one of God's laws. We have a proof verse for that as well. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. That means you can't keep the law. Praise God that now, through God's grace, you're not under that law anymore anyway. But I'm not done with the bad news. There's some really bad news. And that bad news is that the penalty for breaking the law Even if you broke only one of them, the penalty must be paid for. And Romans 6:23 gives us the penalty for breaking the law. For the wages of sin is death. He's talking about spiritual death, being separated from God and cast into eternal darkness. Listen to our Lord Jesus put that in Matthew 25:30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, that's the language of the eternal damnation. There's no words in hell. There's just gnashing of teeth and weeping. And listen how the Apostle John tells us about this place in Revelation 20:14-15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Again, I tell you, praise God that our text promises you, Ray. He promises you, Pam. He promises you, Violet. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. We're not under the dominion of sin because we are no longer under the law. And because we're not under the law, we are not subject to the penalties of the law. No, beloved, our text tells us that we are free from the dominion of sin and the penalties of the law because it has pleased God to give us the free gift of His grace, His unmerited favor. Hallelujah for that. Hallelujah for that. But the process of dethroning sin by showering us with His grace came with an incredible price tag. A price so high that no human being can truly understand it. You see, in transferring us from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His beloved Son, a transfer fee had to be paid. You see, the penalty for our sins could not be just forgiven by God, because God's justice demanded full payment for every sin committed by every child of God, past, present, and future. And Hebrews 9:22 makes it very clear, beloved, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And I'm here to tell you this morning that all the blood from all the goats and all the calves and all the sheep that have ever lived, no, of all the blood of every living creature on earth, if you piled it all up and gave it to God, it wouldn't be enough to satisfy His justice. And that's because if all the sins of mankind were piled one upon another, they would tower above the gates of heaven itself. So the only blood that was pure enough, the only blood that was holy enough, and the only blood that was acceptable enough was the blood from the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. So 2,000 years ago, the God-man, Jesus of Nazareth, allowed evil men to torture Him and to nail Him to a tree. Then of His own accord, He offered His life as a sacrifice for the sins of God's children. Our brother, the Apostle John, records it this way: For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're listening to this message and you have not trusted in that sacrifice, the only sacrifice God has provided for you, and that would be Jesus, then friend, I'm here to tell you this morning, you should be afraid. Because you see, you're still under the dominion of sin. And one day that penalty will come due. And because you've chosen not to take the sacrifice God has provided, you'll have to pay the debt to God yourself. And the Bible says you'll pay that debt in a dark place where the only sounds you hear will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of suffering and torment. And the mandatory term of your sentence, the mandatory term is eternal life without the possibility of parole. There's no hope. That's the message I want you to take home with you today if you're lost, if you don't know Christ. And I pray that God will use it to convict your heart of your sin so that you would cry out, Jesus, save me. If I'm speaking to you and you feel God stirring your heart, see me after the service or call me and I'll show you in God's word how He's calling you to Himself. And for my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, for you this message is altogether different. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace, is a message of joy and gladness that should cause your heart to leap with joy. What you need to do is you need to take this verse home with you. You need to apply it to your heart like the healing balm of Gilead and use it to heal every wound that the world inflicts on you. For sin shall not have dominion over you. No, for sin shall not have dominion over me. For I am not under the law. I'm under grace. When you leave this place this morning, take these 18 words with you. There's only 18 words, and press them right into your mind and into your heart. And use them as a spiritual medicine to drive away the fear, the guilt, and the unbelief that sometimes creeps into your mind. And finally, take this verse home and tattoo it onto your heart so that the next time the devil comes prowling around in your life, tell him, get thee behind me, Satan. I serve a risen king, and sin no longer has dominion over me, for I am no longer under the law, but under grace. May God grant you the strength and the wisdom to take that verse and apply it to your life. And may He bless the preaching of His word. Let's pray. Father, there's